Okay, if you would now open your Bibles, please, to the book of Isaiah, chapter 40. Isaiah, chapter 40. It is a tremendous blessing, if you really get down and think about it, that God has so richly blessed us in that He has given us another year in which to serve Him. You know, we are very fortunate for the privilege to be able to look at this brand spanking new year and think about all that is possible and all that is lying out there ahead. And I like the new year. I truly do. I don't necessarily I've never understood why in the world anybody would ever want to bring in the new year so hungover and sick that they couldn't enjoy it. That just never did make a great deal of sense to me. But I truly do love the new year and all that comes with it. And also, I think it's apt to be able to combine the blessing of the new year with the blessing of a new start. When we have Sister Brianna following the Lord in baptism this morning. These two things go together rather well, I think. So, Isaiah chapter 40, and we'll begin our reading this morning at verse 29. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, He increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Let's pray. Dear kind, gracious Heavenly Father, as we come before Thee this morning, we come so truly thankful for the blessing we have together today here in Thy house. Dear Lord, we're thankful for each one that has made their way out to be with us this morning. And dear God, I pray that You'd bless them. And Lord, I pray especially for Brother Howard. Dear God, I pray that You'd strengthen him and help him, Father. And we're so thankful that he's here with us today. And Lord, I pray that You'd be pleased to touch his body and ease his pain. Dear Father, we thank You for Thy matchless grace and Thy wonderful blessings and love that's been extended to us. And dear Lord, as we come into the new year, dear God, I pray that we would serve You in it as we should and look to Thee for the opportunities that You give us. And dear Father, I just pray that we would be better servants of Thine this year than we were last. And dear Father, what You do, we'll thank You for these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. The subject I'd like to draw our thoughts to is the blessing of a new beginning. The blessing of a new beginning. If you notice in the verses that we read, it indicated that age does not matter in as much as trying to persevere on your own, trying to go forward on your own, trying to prosper on your own, trying to do everything. Even the young are going to get tired because it is a battle, quite frankly, you can't win on your own. It's like trying one of the things I had a blessing of was being raised up around Cherry River. In addition to good trout fishing, there's also several swimming holes up there. So I know a little bit about what it was like to try to swim against the current. And no matter how hard you try, you wear yourself out. And if you make any progress at all, it's very little. And then the next thing you know, you're down further down than when you started. That is the life of that one, no matter their age, that's trying to go forward in this life on their own. However, those that trust in the Lord will mount up as eagle's wings. You know, we think of a majestic bird. Eagles are not too far from our minds, is it? We are blessed here to occasionally be able to catch a glimpse of a bald eagle. And they are truly a magnificent bird. Beautiful to watch them. And if you've ever been very close to one, it's kind of amazing how big they are. And, you know, they are a majestic creature. And that is what the Bible says, that those of us that trust in the Lord shall rise up as eagle's wings. We'll not faint, but be able to persevere. Get the rest that we need. Get the help that we need. And be able to go on. Sounds like a pretty simple determination to me, doesn't it, you? That if you're here this morning, you know the Lord, you need to not trust yourself, but lean upon the Lord for what He can do. Here we are today on what is the very first Lord's Day of the new year. And I have to say, it does not seem possible. There's been an entire year since we were here on the first Lord's Day of 2018. And yet, here it is. As we think back on the things that happened in 2018, we have to all say that there were many, many, many things that took place that we had absolutely no idea would happen on that first Lord's Day of 2018. We didn't see them coming. We had no idea that they would be here. And yet they happened, and they come along, and we had to deal with them. Some of them was quite nice, and those pleasant surprises. And some were tragic. Some broke our hearts. Some were very unpleasant, and things we wished we didn't have to deal with. And there were many that after it was over with, we're kind of left scratching our head, wondering exactly what did happen. How did that happen? And my God, wow. I find myself, the older I get, the more I'm having to answer, or the only comment that I can make when something comes before me is just simply, wow. You know, I've got nothing else to say. Because it's so amazing and unexpected. All things that were unexpected, unplanned for, and not understanding why they were coming, we need to understand that God was in control of all of it. Every bit. We must be willing to understand and to accept that 2019 will be exactly the same way. I dare say most of what we will go through in this year, we have no idea as we stand here right now that we're going to have to deal with it. But we will. And if we lean on the Lord and we trust in Him, we will come through without any problems. That is a promise that we can make to those of us who have been saved for a while, serving in our church for a while. And it's the same promise that we can make to Brianna, who will become a member of our church today. The exact same promise is to us all. We have to understand what we have. The best way that I can describe it, and it helps me, it may not do you any good at all, but I always like to think of the year as a painter's canvas. And what we have before us now is a fresh one. Not a single mark on it. No stains, no blots, no blotters. Just a fresh and clean sight canvas. And everything that's going to be put on that canvas this year, we put on them ourselves. Every mark, every brush stroke, every stain, every blot, we'll be the ones that put it there. Nobody else. And it is this canvas that we look at before us now are completely clear of anything or any mark from 2018. That's the past. That's over. We cannot go back and change anything that took place in 2018. Whatever it was that we determined that we were going to do last year, that ended with the stroke of midnight, New Year's Eve. It's not going to, it didn't get done in 2018. So, beloved, there's no need worrying about it. It's over, right? It's done. It's complete. What's that got to do? How's that tie into everything? Well, beloved, when a person comes to know the Lord and a free pardon of sin, they're given a clean slate, aren't they? A fresh canvas. And I cannot emphasize this enough. What happened in the past is past. Right? We have in our land professional pickers and stirrers. It has been said that I'm a pot stirrer. I don't agree with that. But there are individuals who go out of their way to put their nose in everybody else's business and pick and dig and stir. And what happens, and how the connection I'm making here is this. They will love to throw up what you did before, how you lived before, the way you acted before, the mistakes you made before. That doesn't matter now. We're not that person anymore. Right? I want to give you an opportunity to do something right now. I want to see, and I don't ask people to raise hands, you know that. But I want to give you an opportunity right now. I want anybody who can honestly say that before they were saved, there wasn't anything about their life that they're not ashamed of now, raise your hand. Kind of reminds me of when Jesus said, who of you is without sin? Let them cast the first stone. So, but the beauty of it is, we are a new creature in Christ Jesus, right? In the book of Corinthians, Paul deals with a whole list of sins. And then at the end of the verse, he says, and such were some of you. Now, he didn't say that every person there was guilty of all those sins. But in amongst those sins, there were some that those folks was guilty of. But the wording was, were some of you. Not are, but were. The past is over. That's why, you know, someone comes and is attending here and you know, they start talking to them, or I'm wrenching up to them. You know, our membership role hasn't closed yet. We're still open for membership. And they'll say, well, I don't want to hear that. Well, I'll put it this way. If it makes them feel better, I'm more than glad to hear it. But I don't need to. Because were and did and past is past. All I'm interested in is now. Right? The fresh start. The new beginning. The fresh canvas that is before you. You know, the only thing we need to know about our past is we need to learn from our mistakes and understand that there's nothing we can do about them now but learn from them. Don't make the same one again. You know, after about the third or fourth time that you smash the blood out of your thumb, you learn how to hold the nail a little different. Right? It's some things you just learn from your mistakes. You might even learn not to trust me to throw a breaker off, right, Dale? You know, you make one mistake one time. You know, we need to understand what we have now in front of us. As I refer to a canvas, I used to dearly love to watch that. What was his name?
Bob Ross.
Oh my goodness, I used to love to watch him, and we did. And I come some close to heading to the place and by loading up on supplies, because he made it look like anybody could do it. But then the reality comes in, I can't draw a stick person. There ain't no way I could do that. But he could take a clean, fresh canvas and turn it into something beautiful, couldn't he? Beloved, the new year that God has given you, you have the opportunity by His grace and by His leadership and by His guidance to turn it into something beautiful and something magnificent. And the new life that you've been given, Brianna, you have the opportunity to really make it a life that accounts for a lot and be a blessing to a lot of people. It thrills me. It thrills me to see it. This is the time of the year when people are all the time making their resolutions. You know, and at the heart of every resolution is the reality that there's something about themselves that needs to change. They wish they could change and they would desire to change. And those resolutions that are made around January 1st, or usually y'all went down the wayside by January 5th or 6th or so, because you can't change yourself by yourself. You need help. And most of the help that we need, more than anything else, is the help that's provided by the Lord. So these are some things we're going to look at as we look at this subject. You know, we realize that we have a fresh start. With this clean slate, we don't have to make the same mistakes over this year. There's no reason to. Nothing forces you to make the same mistake. Albert Einstein is reported to have said, "The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results." Now, that makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? If you do exactly the same thing this year you did last year, guess what? You're going to end up in the same binds you were last year. You're going to make the same mistakes you made last year. And if you live your life the same way that you did before the Lord saved you, not only are you going to end up in the same place, you're also going to have the chastening hand of the Lord upon you as you continue to do the same blunders. Unless we commit ourselves to God totally and completely, we are absolutely destined to make the exact same mistakes over and over and over again. The sad and yet humorous thing is that we'll do this and somehow expect things to end up the way we want them to when they didn't before. And look surprised when it happened. What do you expect? What do you expect? You know, if you're, you know, when you're saved, if you put this, allow yourself to be around the same temptations and be around the same things that you gave yourself into before, your flesh will take over and you'll do it again. You need to separate yourself from them. The Bible said, come out from among them, right? And be ye separate. And there's a lot that's connected with that more than some people go into. In the extreme, and this will be the hardest one to do, but in the extreme, it may even involve our separating ourselves from those that we hang around with now. Because if their influence is that strong, we can't be around them. Now, I'm not saying you stop being a friend. I'm not saying that you ignore them, no. But you have to withdraw yourself from them to a certain degree because Your flesh is no stronger than anybody else's, and it can't withstand these things. This most definitely involves ourselves leaning upon the Word of God and not the words and opinions of mankind. You know, the things that are coming out almost on a weekly basis now is absolutely mind-boggling. You know, things that we are told now to embrace. The things that we are expected to grab hold of. You know, I saw or read just this past week a newly sworn-in senator from Arizona put her hand upon a book of law that had the Constitution of the United States and Arizona in it, but not the Bible. Her spokesperson said, well, that's because she holds the Constitution in such high regard. If you believe that, I got some property to sell you. And then when he got down to, so help me God, she just simply said, I promise. Do you reckon that would have floated very many years ago? Did you ever think that we would live in a day when they're trying to cram down our throats the things that they're trying to cram down our throats at this time? You know, we have to lean and read and understand the Word of God and stand upon it and be willing to do so, whatever the case is. When we do this, what happens to a person spiritually? Well, before a person is saved, they are, in addition to being spiritually dead, or perhaps because of the fact they're spiritually dead, they are totally and completely enslaved by their sin. They're enslaved to it. They can't do anything about it. Before a person is saved, there's absolutely nothing that they can do to change the fact that they are enslaved to sin. That's part of what we mean when we talk about a person is completely lost and undone. However, once a person has been saved by the grace of God, they're completely free from their sin. So when we go into the new year, we need to understand we are not a slave to doing the things that we used to do. We're free from that. And when we do them, because we just flat out choose to do so. Every blot and bad mark and mistake that'll be on your canvas at the end of the year will be there because you chose to put it there. And if that sounds blunt, I meant it to be blunt. It's just the fact of it. And Brianna, any blot you bring upon your life in the future will be there because you choose to do it. And it's up to you to either not do it or to ask the Lord to forgive you when it happens. I don't mean to imply anybody can live a sinlessly perfect life, because we can't. But we must be sensitive to that sin and ask the Lord to forgive us of that sin as we move forward. Man, I really wish it would be possible for a person to be sinlessly perfect, wouldn't it? Wouldn't that be a blessing? But it's not so. One of the greatest blessings we have is the fact that according to the Word of God, all of our past sins are forgiven, never to be held against us again. Beloved, that has to be a divine act, because we can't do it ourselves. You know, if somebody does something to us, we push it back in the back of our minds as far as we can. We try as best we can to forget about it. We try as best we can to move forward with that person if they ask for us to forgive them, and we do, and all those kinds of things. But it might be 20 years or longer down the road, but if that person does something to us again, guess what comes back to our mind? Exactly what they did before. Why? Because it's not in us to completely forget it. I wish it were, but it's not. However, those sins that you were forgiven of when God saved you are forever gone. So therefore, beloved, as we go into the new year, as we're putting our marks and strokes upon the fresh new canvas, you don't have to worry about what you did in the past. You know, I'll put it this way. I've said this before, but many years ago when Joshua was small, he needed a bookcase. I was going to make him one. Now, I didn't have the right kind of wood. That's why, and that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. And when I got finished with it, stepped back and looked, and Lane come out, and I said, "What do you think of it? How's it look?" And she said, "Well, it looks pretty good. I'd like for you to see the bookcases in the office now. I made those too." What's the point I'm making? It didn't matter what happened then. Now I've learned a few things and I was able to apply them and it turned out like I wanted it to, for the most part. Beloved, again, I can't emphasize this enough. Folks, let the past go. Let it go. Don't beat yourself up over it because God's forgotten it. And don't allow the knuckleheads of this world to get you down because they're determined to dig in it. Small-minded people like that aren't worth the worry they give you. And don't give them the satisfaction of letting them know that they bother you. Just let it go. You're a new prayer. It don't matter. And if somebody from Richwood could come in here next Sunday and they get back there and they can start listing off things from my past, I wouldn't want to hear it. And I'd try to get them shut up as quick as I could. But you know what? It wouldn't really bother me because I'm not that man anymore. I don't do that anymore. That was over. Done. And as far as God's concerned, forgot about. You know. Yeah, I'm going to move on. You know. We also, however, have to be aware of the fact that even though we are a new person, we still have that old nature. So we have to be careful not to feed it. We have to be careful not to indulge it. Not to allow it to rule in our lives, because if we do, then we're going to have a lot of problems in this year. So we have to hold it at bay. You know, we could turn our lives over completely to God. We can live for Him every moment of every day exactly as we ought to, and we could do all the things that God would have us to do. And according to what Paul said in the book of Romans, it's just our reasonable service. So don't throw your shoulder out patting yourself on the back. At our very best, we're just doing what God wanted to have us to do. And that's where it lays. So we must draw near to Him and follow Him and do what He would have us to do. Elsewise, we're going to be the same person again that we don't want to be. Now, what is declared at baptism? When a person is baptized, they are declaring to the world that they're a new person. They are openly and visibly declaring to all that I'm brand new. You know, I'm not what I was. I'm a brand new person. They're showing forth physically what God has done for them inwardly. That's why one of the reasons why we insist on only believers' baptism. If you're not saved when you go into the water, unless God would work a miracle before you're baptized, and you're going to come out lost, just wet. That's all. You have to be saved to show forth what has happened, that you're a new person. We know that baptism is not a means unto salvation, but rather it's evidence of what has taken place. You know that it shows that we are now walking hand in hand with the Lord. And that because of that fact, He is with us and will help us as we go through life. We have an entirely new purpose. This is seen in the way that we live. Before we were saved, everything we did was centered around ourselves. Just plainly put, it was centered around ourselves. While it's true that there are people who were more selfish than others, every person who is lost is thinking only about themselves and nobody else. Me first. Even when they are doing something for somebody, even when they are doing things that are helpful for somebody else, there are always ulterior motives for what they do because of their nature, because of the way that they are. However, once a person is saved, the primary purpose in everything that a person does is to honor and glorify God. And not only this, they're concerned about the well-being of others. They pray for others. They look to help others. And they want to help others for the right reasons. That is, because that person needs some help. It's evidence of what has taken place. They will put up their service to God above everything else. Above everything else. There are times when things come up, we know that. But their overriding purpose is to put their service to God and do what they're supposed to do. Be where they're supposed to be. Act how they're supposed to act. If at all, unless they're providentially hindered to do so. A person who is lost will try to go through all the motions. They'll do everything that they can to try to mask what they do. However, they will put everything and anything in front of their service to God. It's one way how you can tell a lot about them. They'll put every single possible thing that comes up ahead of themselves and God, their service to God. And that says a lot about them. We have responsibilities we have to do, sir, sure. We have things that we do occasionally, certainly. There are things that comes up that we have to address, most definitely. But what I'm talking about is overall, we would rather be doing something else somewhere else than being in God's house. And when we get that attitude, then we need to reexamine how we're thinking, because there's something wrong. We must put our service to God first. That's another outward evidence, beloved, of what God has done. And since God has so graciously given us a brand new year, we must determine within our hearts, not our heads, but within our hearts, that we're going to serve Him. And we must determine in our hearts that we're not going to live like the world, that we're going to show that there is a difference between us and the lost. We're not that person anymore. And that is something, beloved, we can do. This will be even when those people that we know may perhaps turn their backs on us. We're still going to stand for the Lord and lean on Him. What is seen in baptism? Through baptism, a person is declaring that their life has been totally surrendered to the Lord. It is through baptism that they are declaring that the Lord's will for their life is first and foremost. First and foremost. What's that mean? That means if it's the Lord's will that you'd have to go halfway around the world serving, then you're going to go halfway around the world and serving. Without any questions, because you are surrendered to His will. We have this scriptural example of where God's purpose for the direction Paul went was not His purpose for where he went. And yet he did what God would have him to do. Through baptism and the membership of our church, they are declaring that they're willing to do whatever the church needs for them to do. You see, church membership comes with responsibility. You aware of that? It has responsibility. And among them is responsibility of your willingness to do whatever it is the church needs for you to do. You know, I don't know when we've had, for example, when we've had work days planned here one time or another. Seems like we got more people coming out and we got jobs to do. I like seeing that. Same thing with Bible school. I've pretty well delegated myself out of everything. Yeah, I've been pretty slick at that. All I got to do now is walk around, look important and neat. I got it made. It's a good job. Trust me. King Delegatus the First. You know, another way you can look at me is I'm the Teflon pastor. Nothing sticks to me. But beloved, because we're walking in the newness of life, because we have this new life that we desire to serve the Lord in and with and through, then we're willing to do what needs to be done, whatever it might be. There's new guidance. You know, can you imagine what it would be like to try to cover new territory and find that the compass that you were relying upon was broken? That'd be kind of a bad feeling, wouldn't it? How about if there was some place that you had to be, and you had to be there at the exact moment? It was a time thing. You had to be there at a certain time. And as you're going by that, you find out that your watch is broke, that it don't have correct time. That'd be a bit of a pickle, wouldn't it? Or how about using what we have available to us today, that we're going about and we're relying upon our GPS or them gremlins like Clarence has. And as we're relying upon it and trusting it, we find this won't take us on a turn where there is no turn. And we've seen places, people sometimes from GPS has took them on roads they really didn't want to be on, because it may be the closest, but it's not the best. What then? And I think, beloved, these are all pretty well illustrating what it's like for a lost person to direct their own lives. They're relying on broken instruments of guidance. So therefore, they just wander around from one place to the other. And they have no sense of direction. They fall back upon what they do know, and that's not much. And they go in all different directions. They just kind of just waffle around. We know, beloved, that with, as you're saying, in this new year, you'll have total guidance through God's Word, through the leadership of His Spirit, and it'll help you make the right strokes on that new canvas. And that is true, so true, for a person who's saved, just saved, and just starting their new life with the Lord. You know, there should be a purpose and direction in everything that we do. There has to be a purpose behind them, because if there's no purpose, then we're not really going to accomplish anything. Oh, you may look busy, you may piddle and get a lot done piddling, but there's no real direction. And beloved, we need to be focused, don't we? We need to be determined, and that we're going to do, come what may, what we have to do. That's how you succeed in life. That's how you succeed in your service for God. So what we see in baptism. Through baptism, a person is declaring that they are no longer following the wisdom and guidance of the world. Oh boy. If you follow the wisdom and the guidance of the world, there's no telling what you're going to do. Because, you know, the wisdom and guidance of those that are so smart in the world today, they try to tell us that, you know, we're supposed to embrace everything. We're supposed to accept everything. We're supposed to go along with everything. And those things they say that we have to embrace and go along with are things that the Bible declares to be an open sin or an abomination. So, you don't want to follow them. Through baptism, a person is declaring that they have committed their lives to God and are following His guidance in their lives. You know, isn't it nice to know that the Bible says that the steps of a good man are what? Order to the Lord. That's something you can rely on. Through baptism, a person is declaring that they are going to live their lives in such a manner that they can be used of God. And this is all because of the new life that was given when a person is saved. This is part of the blessing of a new beginning. So, beloved, as we go into this year, consider and understand that what we have is we've been given. There's been a few strokes on it because we're what, 5 days into the year? No, 6 days into the year. So there's a few marks there. But let's make sure that with this new beginning, we make the most of what we have. And Brianna, at your age, there is so much that lies ahead of you. Your whole life's ahead of you. Make the most of it. Trust the Lord. Trust in Him. And you know what? You'll be surprised just how quickly it'll be when the folks, younger folks will be coming to you for help and guidance and suggestions. I can say that because it seems like just yesterday that I was one of the boy preachers up here. Nobody calls me that anymore. In fact, I guess in that regard, I'm one of the elder statesmen now. And it just, I don't know when it happened. I don't know how it happened, but it did. And before you know it, you're going to be looked upon as a leader. And you, there's no reason why you can't be. With this book to guide you, and with God's Spirit to help you. And that's what I pray that God will do for you. Let us pray.